Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. All right, let's talk a little Washington Wizards. In the midst of a rebuild, not necessarily winning a lot of games, but a lot of young players playing and their GM. Will Dawkins joins us right now. What's going on, Will?
Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing, guys?
Good morning, Will.
How would you assess, like big picture globally, how the Wizards have performed this early part of the season?
Yeah, I think with us last year coming in, we had a little bit more of a veteran team. And this year, we knew we were going to give more opportunities to the young guys early on. They were kind of like a part of the group last year. Now they're driving the group this year. So the outcome's obviously not as many wins as we would like, but I think we've seen the progress with the players, and we're pretty happy with where they're at right now.
Yeah, I would say that I'm pretty much a dummy, and I could see where you're going with this, right, with all the young guys. They're fun.
I wouldn't say all that.
They're fun to watch, for sure. And I remember talking to you when you drafted the guys, you know, like Keyshawn and Bub and all those guys. And I remember being intrigued by Keyshawn, and I just thought, oh, man, he looks like a – I remember saying to you specifically, and I feel stupid now, but I was like, I think he could be like – maybe like a poor man's Robert Horry, just like great shooter. From he does it all now. You guys are having him do it all. He's bringing a ball up. I'm told he's one of your best defenders. He fills up every category. Is he your biggest surprise of all the guys, the young players that you've been putting together?
Yeah, I think Keyshawn's done a tremendous job of putting the work in. I know he's talked to you guys and mm-hmm. a lot of people know he stayed all summer and was doing 2-a-days, 6 days a week, and like really put the time in. I got to give the coaching staff and Coach Keefe a lot of credit. They stayed with him all summer, and they've given him a bunch of opportunities this year to lead in different spaces, and he's taken advantage of it. But like you said, Keith's someone who's still really young. He's growing. It's just his second year in the league, but the mindset shift and the skill adjustment that we've seen from him, like, we're really happy. And he's someone that's shown it on both ends. Like you said, last year he became more of a defender, but continued to work on his offensive game. And you see him leading our offense, making shots, making plays, and really just being active defensively. Mm-hmm. So we're really happy for where he's at, and we're going to continue to give him a lot of opportunity to grow so that he can be ready moving forward.
How encouraged are you by Bilal's return? 3 games now, double-digit scoring in each of the three. Had 3 three-pointers in the loss to the Knicks. So looking good on the comeback.
Your guy's back.
He's back, baby. You knew I was going to ask you about Bilal. You knew that was going to happen.
You have to. I think you just see the confidence growing. For him, like, stepping into year three, he's just a little bit more confident and more aggressive. But I think it's more defensively when you see him inserted back into that starting lineup, how good we've been in those first quarters with him, Keyshawn, and Alex with the two veterans. You can just see what we're going to become in the future. And that lineup with those three guys out there has been really, really impressive defensively. And Bilal specifically being aggressive, getting downhill, you just see his athleticism, blocking shots, getting steals, and then confidence to continue to shoot the ball. So, like we said, he's going to be a good player. His prime is 3-4 years away from starting. So we're just happy to have him back out there. And we look more like we're trying to look defensively when he's out there, and that's what we want.
Do you just sit around like and goof on the Hawks for drafting Risashe and Sars just blowing up?
Risashe had 21 last night.
Yeah, whatever. He's averaging like 11.
He's averaging 11 or 12.
I mean, you goof on him, don't you?
I don't goof on any organization because I understand how hard this job is.
Yeah.
I'm more focused on our guys, and I would say Alex Sars, someone who still hasn't played 82 games yet. Like, he got injured at the end of last season, or in the middle of last season. So he's still kind of finishing up his rookie year, and where he's at is where we're very excited that he is. You know, he's someone that to be leading our team in blocks, in rebounds, but also assists, like, that shows you the skill set that this player has, that we can play through him. And
he's scoring.
All the confidence to, the confidence that you guys have seen, like, going towards the rim, being aggressive, using his physicality. Like, we've played a pretty tough schedule with like elite level bigs. And Anthony Davis, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Cat, like, he's gone toe-to-toe for a while on those guys and held his own, and he's still in the baby parts of his second year. So for us, Alex is a talented player. He's going to continue to get better, like Keyshawn, like Bub, like Bilal, like all those young players, Trey. Like, they work, and they want to get better. So that mindset shift that you've seen from him, we expected to see it.
Yeah, so talk,
we're very happy with where he's at.
Talk about Trey. I know he hadn't started yet, but averaging 12, field goal percentage, low 40s. What are you seeing from him? What are you liking from Trey Johnson?
Yeah, I think Trey's a good reminder that rookies do exist. Like, we threw our rookies in the fire last year and started them right away, played them heavy minutes. I think Trey's someone that gets an opportunity to kind of see how the game is flowing, learn from CJ, learn from some of the other guys on, like, what to do, how to prepare. But the start he's had, again, we're pretty excited for that. The guy has a lot of talent, and he's fighting on the defensive end. So for us, we played a long game on all of our guys, but to see where he's at through his first 7-8 ball games, I think Trey's someone that everybody can get excited about. And he'll improve, especially being a little bit more efficient, but the fact that he's still shooting really well from the three-point line. As a team, we're actually shooting really well from the three-point line, and he's a big reason because of that.
You know, Ben, I think you're starting to get to know Ben, who does the Locked On Wizards podcast. And Ben's a stud, man. He knows his Wizards. And I don't think you asked him this, but he was like, why aren't you helping Trey get a shot more? Like, it's all on him right now.
I think that might be fair in some instances. The way you see our second unit, it's a bunch of guys that are learning each other, and we're putting in a new offensive system, and I have to give BK a lot of credit for paying 10, 11 guys. So the consistency of the lineup, the way we want to play, like, we're still getting through that. I think you look across the league in the early parts of the season, people still trying to figure out where to get their best shots from. And to be a rookie, to be put in that situation, to be given the green light and the license, I think he's done a pretty good job. He's really talented. He can go get his own shot. But I think he's also making people pay when he's getting the swing from the corner and things of that nature. So he'll continue to get more efficient and figure himself out. But he's one of those talented players that can go get his own. So let's not put him in a box.
Hey, okay. Has Trey taken any of those life tips from CJ McCollum, who basically said he has to expand outside of just being all about basketball all the time? Is he, like, going to, like, an art museum, or is he taking up new hobbies, anything like that?
Yeah. I hope I'm not, like, breaking a story or anything, but I think Monumental Sports is doing a – Monumental Network, we're doing a series on, like, Trey finds a hobby.
Oh.
So he's, like, going out and I think he went, like, a golf simulator with Corey, maybe, like, yoga with someone else. So, like,
Nice.
He's trying to become more well-rounded.
Okay,
so,
excellent.
Again, the guy's a basketball junkie.
Very
nice.
Cool.
Nice, very cool. Very cool. All right, Will, thank you very much. We appreciate it, man. Always love having you on. And I have to admit, I never was a big Tank guy, but I'm starting to see it.
He's not going
to
use that word.
I know.
No, he won't.
Rebuild is the word.
But I'm starting to see it. I mean, we really are putting together some young players that are fun to watch. So keep it up.
Appreciate the support, guys. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Will.
It's Will Dawkins. Okay. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
One thing we didn't ask him, I was going to ask him, but they are giving up 127 a game.
Now, it's not the worst in the league.
It's not the worst
the
in the
Nets
league.
Nets are worse.
The Nets are 0.5 worse.
But Ben has an answer for it.
But I'm sure pace has something to do with it. But they're not, Ben, you were saying they're not good at defending the three off the break.
They're pushing a lot in transition, second in pace in the NBA, which makes a lot of sense for a super young athletic team like the Wizards are right now. But at times they get killed in transition. I think the inexperience is just part of that. Guys aren't getting to their spots. They're not rotating fast enough. And as Keith says, they're not on a string moving defensively. So the breakdowns happen. I think it'll get better as the season goes on.
What would GM Unfunny Ben do to tweak this team right now?
To tweak it right now?
Yeah.
Probably add a point guard.
You would.
I think they do need a true point option, somebody to really help play make for others.
Dude,
because
he's going
to
work in a front office somewhere. This dude is locked.
No, not. I'm way too stupid to do anything like that. I'm just a dumb donk. But
no, you're pretty locked in, dude.
I'm locked in on the Wizards, right? Isn't that the name of the podcast?
Yeah, certainly really is.
I thought it's locked on, not locked in.
Yeah.
Get your brand right.
All right, JP. I'm sorry, man. But Alex Saar's development's been so encouraging. I just need somebody to get him the damn basketball. Somebody
he needs more touches.
Yes. He needs more open opportunities to work out of the pick and roll. He's been so good.
Tell the pick and roll stat.
Yeah, so Chase Hughes of Monumental actually discovered this one, so I'll give a shout out to him. He's been a big stats guy. He, a few days ago, posted that he was averaging an NBA best a point and a half per possession when operating out of the pick and roll. And he's been great passing out of the short roll. That's a big point of emphasis. Nice. He had a career high in assists the other night with 7.
So he's number one in the league out of the pick and roll.
Yeah, points per possession.
Points per possession, right. Wow.
And he's leading the team in assists at 4.1 assists per game, which will tell you that they probably do need a point guard, that both George and Saar averaging right about 4 assists.
At Boston tonight, Cleveland comes in Friday, and then Dallas comes in. Cooper comes in Saturday. Mm.
Cooper's been a little underwhelming so far.
It's good for my Trey Johnson ticket, rookie of the year.
Yeah, but you got to watch what the kid in Philadelphia's doing.
It's going to be bumpy roads.
I remember those old heads that do the podcast. They were kind of goofing on Cooper. Like, he's great, but he's not going to, like, there's a lot of great players in the league, and he's going to kind of blend in.
Some people feel that.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think he's been fine. His shooting percentage
Percentage is bad. He's averaging close to 14, but the shooting percentage is high 30s.
Yeah. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Coming up next, Kurt Warner had some critique of Jaden Daniels' play. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Joining us right now, and it's a pleasure to have him back on the show, is the head coach at Georgetown, Ed Cooley. The Terps host Georgetown Friday night. We've got a series that will begin and hopefully will last forever with Ed Cooley going up against Buzz Williams. They've coached against each other for sure in the past. First of all, you know, perfect timing to come in with you on the show because I know that you and Dan Quinn have become friends, right? You live near each other and you guys have become pretty friendly.
I'm a big Coach Quinn fan. I'm a converted Commanders fan, obviously being born and raised in New England. Yet at the same time, I love his drive. I love his passion, his toughness. I've been fortunate to go to a game and kind of witness it firsthand. So I'm a big fan. I know we got a lot of injuries right now, and that's part of the deal, but that doesn't take away what I see from afar, his joy, his passion for his players. And his energy is just infectious, and I love his messaging. So I've learned a lot from watching and really concentrating on his messaging to his players.
You know, it's different sports, Coach, but, you know, when you have a relationship and a friendship with a coach like Dan Quinn from another sport, do you guys talk coaching together? Do you lean on each other for things? You know, what kind of conversations do you have, if any, just about coaching and managing people, et cetera?
I've had a couple of conversations about management styles, you know, because I'm always going to respect the boundary. I know sport. I don't know the inner workings of the NFL, you know, but again, when you're managing people and expectations are high, you know, you hold yourself to a standard. Is, you know, as long as you're very direct, open, and honest, I don't think there's a way you go wrong. Unfortunately, in our business, you know, we're judged on winning and losing, which is what we're paid to do. But, you know, the purpose of this is to help people get better at what they do and excel. So we've had a couple of conversations, but I mean, I never try to cross the boundary of where, you know, it could make someone uncomfortable.
So the sport, which I'm a huge fan of, it's just changed so much. Like, you know, I'm watching, you know, opening night the other night, and, you know, so many teams have just a completely different roster. It's changed so much, and that's kind of the way it is, you know, with the exception of a few teams. You've got, you know, a player or two back. But how is it to coach in this era where literally there's unrestricted free agency for all intents and purposes for players, and every year it's about essentially crafting a totally new roster?
It for sure is something different that all of us that are now coaching have to lean into and adjust to it, you know, because if you don't, you'll get left behind. So again, it's really hard to sustain quote unquote culture. So, you know, you're constantly building that new identity every year of who are we, what are we. And again, I'm not a big person with rules. I'm so much, okay, here's our standard, live up to it. Because again, in today's young men and women, if you give them a rule, they're too savvy, they'll work around that rule. But if you give them a standard of which to uphold, they will disappoint themselves and their teammates more so than try to navigate the rules, so to speak. So if we could continue to, you know, try to identify people who fit the coaching style we have here at Georgetown and fit at Georgetown as a student athlete, I think you can build from there. And I tell you, it's a challenge. It's totally different than before when you're constantly having 6 to 8 to 12 to 13 new players every year.
Yeah, you know, we hear as fans so often, Coach, about culture, and sometimes I'm not even sure we know what that means, but, right. You know, building a culture, and you can, I'd be curious as to what that means to you, but it makes total intuitive sense that every year when you've got that many new players coming in, there isn't a group of players left over to kind of share what that culture is.
Well, for us, for us in basketball, you have to try to retain as many players as you can. And if you have a support system in place that could, help with that, meaning in this NIL world, you have to have that. You know, if you don't, it's going to be really hard to sustain any type of success. So retainment is going to be important where you can carry over some sort of a culture. So with our retainment, with Malik Mack, with Caleb, with Julius Holofanua, we have Kayvon Mulready. We have 6 returning players, of which 2 played consistent minutes for us. And then we brought in some new players, and hopefully that our retainment players can, at least speak in the locker room about who we are as people and what we do for them, not so much the coach, right? Yeah. It's a lot of coach speak, but, I want our players to know who we are as human beings first. The coaching will come easy. If you've got good players, you've got a good team. If you have great players, you're going to have a great team. If you have a great culture, you'll win a championship if all 3 of those are aligned.
It's interesting the way you put it. It's almost like a retail business where customer retention is really important. Like, player retention is going to be such an important thing to look at when you kind of try to evaluate a team before a season begins. So my Georgetown friends are really fired up about this season, and I'm sure you've sensed some of this. This is a completely different team, they believe, than your first team last year. For those that haven't, quite gotten into college hoops yet, tell us about what you have and why Hoyas fans are excited and optimistic about this year.
Well, we're first and foremost excited to be playing Maryland. Coach Williams and I, we go back a long, long time, yeah. Right? We've come up through it together. I think I'm on year 20 as a head coach. He's on year 19. So we kind of cut from the same cloth that way with our style of play. So it should be fun. I think what our fans could expect to see is a connected team, a disciplined team, a very tough defensive-minded team, a team that's willing to share but have a lot of joy. I love for our players to play with joy, with a personality, with an edge, and don't be apologetic for being tough. So, and we have to stay healthy. I thought we had a tournament team last year had we stayed healthy. And, injuries part of it. Hopefully we have the depth to offset some of the injuries if we come across it. But I think the Hoya fans could expect a team that is fun to watch, is well respected because of how disciplined we are, and are going to play as hard as we can to try to win.
So last year was kind of a Thomas Sorber led team. How, in terms of style of play, I know your backcourt is pretty strong this year. Style of play, will it be more backcourt driven than big man driven?
I think our style of play, I think we have depth.
Yeah,
I think we have quality depth, and I think the strength is in our numbers. The strength is at some point we're going to have to get to a rotation that's been really, really hard because we feel we have 12 players that can all play at this level and contribute. Yet it's hard to play all 12 scholarship players when you're trying to build some sort of continuity and chemistry that will sustain success over the course of the season. So it's been great competition, and I think that's really helped us grow fast in practice. The players are very, very close talent-wise, so I don't know if it's quote-unquote Thomas Sorber-led, even though he's not here, well, one player, two player led. I think the strength is in the overall numbers of the group, and that's what I'm excited about because we can wear some teams out.
You have coached for a long time. You've been very successful as a head coach for a long time. And you just said something that's interesting because in college basketball, you're figuring it out this time of year. And you just said, right. You got 12 guys, you're deep, and you don't know how it'll shake out, and you can't play everybody. Typically, in your experience, when do you figure it out? By when do you figure out who those 8, 9 guys are going to be?
Fair question and great question. You know, I remember talking to John Beilein. This is maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe a little, maybe 9 years ago. And we played, I believe we played Michigan at the Mohegan Sun in a tournament. And he grabbed me after the game. And he says, and his wisdom was great. He says, get to 7 or 8, preferably 7 fast. Right. And when you do that, you'll find yourself further ahead than you think. So when is that time come?
When you have 12, it's much harder, clearly.
Clearly. I mean, clearly it's hard when you have 12 really good players for their position. The NCAA really helped us by giving us 2 more scholarships that I don't think we needed. I don't know if I've ever used. I think I've been a head coach 20 years now. I think I've only used 13 scholarships once, and that was last year, and we redshirted 3 of them, you know, for retainment. So it's going to be interesting. I would say normally by mid-December, you have a really good idea, and then by the time league play starts, you kind of know what your rotation's going to be. Because, again, in some of the games, you want to use a developmental to see and to give players experience on the floor in their game uniforms. But, you know, the old skip process saying, because it's Halloween, that don't mean I got to give you candy. Because there's a game, I don't have to give you minutes. you got to go out and earn them. And that's what I've appreciated about this group is we've competed against each other in practice at a high, high level. And today, this afternoon, we are going to have a brutal practice today. So I hope
Some of us say about betting, you know, just because it's on Monday night and it's the only game doesn't mean you have to bet on it. Wait, but what did you just say? You said you're going to have a brutal practice today?
Today will be a very, very hard practice.
Why?
Well, we know, and again, we know what we're about to up against. We're going up against Buzz's culture. As a head coach, his teams are great defensively. They're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country year in and year out. Their style of play is very physical, very aggressive. And our players, we want to play the same exact way with respect to our physicality and our approach. It's really setting that tone as we're going to walk into a sold-out building on their home campus. You know, Georgetown has not played over there traditionally through the year, so I think our community is really excited to see this rebirth of this rivalry, which I'm excited about because I think it gives back to our people, right? Again, I'm about the people. I'm about making sure that there's engagement in our community. Georgetown's basketball is speaking about, and as we try to restore the legacy and history of Georgetown basketball, I think playing Maryland affords us that opportunity.
I love to hear you say that because, you know, for many years at this station, Coach Thompson hosted the show right after my show, and I miss him. We all do. You know, we loved him dearly and missed him. But I'll tell you what, he couldn't have cared less about Georgetown, Maryland. As he said, we weren't building a local program. We were building a national program, which, by the way, he did. But, you know, it's a long way from there, and the fact that you and Buzz have this relationship, you both are genuinely excited about bringing this back to the area, aren't you?
Yeah. And again, I respect Coach Thompson. He's one of my greatest mentors.
Love him.
I more than love him. I appreciate him for what he did for young African-American coaches that he laid the foundation for. And in saying that, that was the time when he was coaching. Times are so different now, in particular when you put in commerce, when you put in NIL opportunities that you know, I'm trying to recruit this DMV area to keep our best players in America home. The DMV produces some of the best players in the history of the game that have come straight out of this area, and we want them to stay here. In doing so, we can bring that rivalry energy to those young men and hopefully young women that want to stay close. Again, Coach wasn't trying to build a regional program at that point in time. He did build a national monster. Those times have now passed, so now how do we carry that with national brand and also a local flair of an incredible game where when both teams play, both arenas will be sold out.
Georgetown beat Morgan State on Monday night. Maryland beat Coppin State. They meet Friday night, Xfinity Center, 6 o'clock tip. Some of us hate, Coach, that it's 6 o'clock because this area is not known for its easy traffic. But that aside, you'll have, you know, you'll have a bouncing place to go into, certainly by the second half of the game. You had this game last week that, you know, for maybe I missed it the last couple of years, more highly publicized scrimmages, preseason games. You went to Rupp. You actually beat Kentucky. And they used to be kind of secret, right, some of these scrimmages, and we wouldn't know about them. Why do we know about them now? When did that change?
Well, last year, I believe okay. It was the first year where we were able to play public again. With the ever-evolving NCAA men's basketball, women's basketball, this new NIL era, it's opportunity for us to showcase our players earlier. In doing so, you're able to put them in a tough environment to help you build your program. I actually am going to recommend that we play one, maybe two more exhibition games based on the new rule that we have our players since some late May, and definitely all of June, July, and August. So we've got about players a long time, and some of the players may get bored playing against one another. Yet I think it's a good thing for people to watch us. I think it's great for the crowd. It has basketball being spoken about earlier, going head-to-head against, you know, NCAA football. I think we need to modernize our game and have summer basketball in the United States because we're able to go overseas and play. Case in point, this year we played up in Canada. It was one of the best four games we ever had in the summer, and I think it prepared us for what we're doing now. We need to bring basketball to the United States in the summer, and we as coaches should demand that from the NCAA, whether you regionalize it. Imagine having a summer league where you have GW, where you have American, where you have Howard, George Mason, University of Virginia, VCU, Richmond, where we can have some of a summer league where there's 3, 4, 5 games in the summertime. I think that just brings excitement where basketball is spoken about, you know, year round. Because we have our players. We have our players a lot right now. We bitched and complained before about not having them a lot, and now we may have them too much. So just like your own children, they do get on your nerves at times.
Yeah, they do.
Man, they drive me crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, I saw you got a major commitment from a top 20 kid, Alex Costanza, committed to Georgetown. This kid, Baba, who's at, you know, Blake in Silver Spring, is the number one player. You know, he reclassed into 26. How big is Maryland Georgetown now than ever before when it comes to recruiting, especially this area?
Appreciate that. You know, let me be really, really polished here and political. Because of NCAA rules, I can neither confirm nor deny what you just spoke about.
Okay, fair. No, I knew. You're right. I forgot about that. So that's fine. But I know you're recruiting well.
You're doing your job, and I appreciate that. And all I can say to is there are 3, 4 particular players in this DMV area that we would be honored to coach and honored to be part of their journey, because we feel all of them are going to play at the next level. And if we can keep our young men home to help us restore, rebuild, energize, invigorate our community, I think it'll pay major dividends for them as they become a little bit older and wiser when the ball stops bouncing. I think it's great for this DMV community if we're fortunate to, you know, to have them in our program.
Some of us know, Coach, this is a basketball town at its core in terms of what's so important to so many people, and the talent's just unbelievable. Two quick ones to end with. Number one, just tell me real quickly how Deshaun's doing. Deshaun Harris-Smith, who was a Terp, was, you know, the top player coming out of the area 2 years ago. How's he done so far? How does he look?
He's done really well. You know, he had an incredible summer. He did great in Canada. You know, we're using him at multi positions. I thought he came in a game the other day against Morgan and changed the game with his versatility. We're using him at 5 different positions. He's a Swiss Army knife. So he's doing really, really well, and we're glad, we're really, really happy to have him.
All right. Last thing is really just a thank you for being to getting this done. There are so many of us. I'm a Maryland guy, but Maryland and Georgetown people have wanted this as a regular on the sports calendar for years. Enjoy it Friday night. I know it's only November, but it'll feel big, I think, in the moment. And go have a great season. Just not on Friday night in College Park. But I hope you play well. And thank you for doing this. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks a lot for having us, and we're really, really excited to play the game and looking forward to playing them. You know, I mean, we have a great agreement and looking forward to playing them in the future as well. Thank you.
Ed Cooley, everybody, the head coach at Georgetown, is a different Georgetown team than last year. They've got talent. They are deep. And if they stay healthy, they got a shot to have a really good season. So looking forward to Friday night. What'd you say, Max? Yeah, you want me to do the IHOP spot? Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea before we close the show.
Okay, well, you know what? We like IHOP, but you did not put it in your rundown.
Wait,
so
I didn't?
So you're going to have to resend me the IHOP.
That's I can...
$6 menu.
That's true.
Where, you know, there's nothing better than those, you know, pancakes and maybe, you know, some protein on the side. I can't wait for Friday night. I wish the game were at 8 o'clock, not at 6 o'clock. You guys have heard me bitch about this before. Trying to get to College Park, I'll be there. And certainly be, you know, in some of the places, probably Bentley's beforehand. But still, the fact that this game is going to happen now for the next several years is huge. And Maryland plays Virginia, too, in the upcoming December schedule, which will be fun. Big game. I really like Ed Cooley. Ed Cooley, by the way, definitely a great communicator, he is recruiting. They just got a 5-star commitment from a top 20 guy. Really, really, really good player. All right, the IHOP spot. Yes, I want to let you know that this last segment with Ed Cooley was sponsored by IHOP. Introducing the IHOP value menu where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big, filling, sit-down breakfast for just $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Thanks to Ed Cooley. Thanks to Dan Miller, who joined me on the show today. Back tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, Chris Russell's up next.
B, you didn't play with Andre Carter, did you?
Which Andre Carter?
The DN?
No, no.
He was after you, right. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. B, Mitch and Finley, live on 106.7 The Fan, live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, and live on Monumental Sports Network, broadcasting live from the BigBear.ai Performance Center, Commanders Park. Practice getting ready to rock here in about an hour, as you know, a lot of people have thrown in the towel, but Washington has a game Sunday against the Detroit Lions. That's how this works.
Nobody feels sorry for you.
I brought up Andre Carter. So Miami, the Dolphins, just called up Andre Carter II. They called him up off Detroit's practice squad. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is the same Andre Carter that played here as a DN, but as a junior at West.
He doesn't seem that old. Does he, to have a kid already in the league?
Andre Carter's not that unique of a name, but these are the types of moves I think, as you get deeper into a season where things aren't going well, look for guys that might show you a spark. This dude was a serious pass rusher in college. Now, that was at a lower level, but you never know. All right, joining us right now via the Rude guest hotline, Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV, is our friend Mr. Leslie Shepard. Of course, Shep played 5 years for the Redskins, 18 total touchdowns, over 2,000 receiving yards. Shep, what's up, man? How you been?
Man, I'm good, JP. How you doing?
What up, boy?
What's up, B. Mitch?
Chilling, baby, chilling.
Shep, a lot of reasons I wanted to have you on, but I did want to start. B was telling us that you suffered a worse but similar injury to the one that Jaden just went through with the dislocated elbow. But I guess you also broke your wrist. Can you tell us? I mean, that sounds painful as hell, dog, so I'm sorry. But can you tell us kind of what that injury was like?
Oh, man, it was, wow. So I did dislocate my elbow. B. Mitch was right on that, but we was unaware of the wrist being broken till the next day. Excruciating injury. Was no surgery required. They had to just replace, you know, put my elbow back into place, and you know, I had to wear a sling for a few weeks, and then you know, you went straight to rehab. But man, it's excruciating. The injury itself and the rehabilitation process is grueling.
So I don't know that you can delineate between the dislocated elbow and the broken wrist, because obviously when they happen together, right, you got to deal with all of it.
Right.
Specific to the elbow that Jaden's dealing with, mm-hmm, was the excruciating part popping it back in? Is that something you just kind of – like you see that people do that with their shoulders. They just kind of jam it back in. Is it similar with the elbow going through it?
Well, it's a sting. It's a burning sensation. But – the rehabilitation part is a little bit more difficult than just popping it back, because you got your adrenaline pumping, and they do it fairly quickly. You know, as soon as they got them to the back, I'm sure they just popped it back in. But then you have to deal with the scar tissue and all of that stuff that, you know, recruiting muscle fibers and things of that nature around your elbow and all that. So it's an excruciating injury for sure. But it's not MCL, you know, it's not his throwing shoulder, he didn't tear rotate a couple, nothing of that nature. So I think something he could definitely bounce back from and be, you know, I don't think he will miss a beat once he get back from his injury.
You know, they said it was no ligament damage and things like that. That's probably right, vitally important. You know, if you had to say, like, they didn't put him on injury reserve, okay? And that, okay, thing, that makes people wonder, like, okay, right, well, could he come back, you know?
Right.
And for me, I can't say no, he won't be coming back this year, but I wouldn't know 4 weeks, 5 weeks, six, I wouldn't know. But I guess
I think it's highly unlikely. I think it's highly unlikely that he comes back. Now, you know, especially given the situation of the team right now, you know what I mean? It just wouldn't, mm-hmm, make sense to me, you know, going forward if he came back. But I think it's something he can definitely recover from and not have any effects of his throwing motion or things of that nature. It's his left hand, it's his left shoulder, left arm. It's not his throwing arm. So I think he'll be fine. The biggest hurdle he's going to have is that you're going to have to fight through that scar tissue to build back that range of motion, because you have to have your arm to be a certain percentage in order to just even to get cleared to play, right? So that's going to be the biggest hurdle. Once you dislocate your elbow, the percentage of the extension is small, right? So they're going to tell you when you first start, this is what you have to do, and the goal is to get it to a certain percentage. So that's going to be the process, and that's going to take a little longer than 4 or 6 weeks, in my opinion.
So that scar tissue, so it's like they have your arm in a certain bend or whatever, in a sling. They have
sling,
to pop that thing? Because I know when they did it with my knee, I almost punched the doctor.
Yeah, but see, the physical therapy process is grueling anyway, because the average person probably go to therapy 2-3 times a week tops. You know, if you're an NFL guy, you're going to go to rehab 3 times a day for 5 days, and probably Saturday too if, you know, you play at home during that week. So people don't understand that process. So they're going to give you the measuring stick of where you are. You know, they're going to put it on your arm, and they're going to say, look, this is where you are, and this is where we need to go. So I don't know if, B-Miss, you've probably been through the process of fighting through scar tissue, but it's, if I could compare it to anything, it would almost be like going to a dentist and getting a root canal on one side and getting your wisdom tooth pulled on the other side, but they don't give you any anesthesia. No medicine. Okay, so you're not getting no numbness or none of that. You just got to sit there without the injection in your gums and just deal with it. So that's how excruciating popping scar tissue is. So, you know, Al Bellamy did mine, and we wasn't friends for at least 2 months. Like, I didn't even talk to him. You know what I'm talking about? Like, for real. Like, I literally didn't like the dude. Like, but that's the process. That's the process. That's what you have to go through, man. I'm telling you, man. It's not something I wish on nobody. But it's not a knee. It's not a knee. It's not no ligament stuff, but it's excruciating. You know what I mean? To say the least.
See, that you saying that, okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. But for the average person, they just hear an injury and it's an injury. They
right.
understand it's a different. There's different levels to that. It's an elbow, okay?
Right.
And
right.
they popped it back in, and he'll be back from it, and probably won't even, you know, nothing happens on it again. Probably won't even ever think about it again.
Exactly.
But when it's a knee, it's a problem.
It is. And I mean, he might wear a brace that you see some of the, you know, maybe the DNs wearing when they hyperextend their elbow. And they come back in 2 or 3 weeks. So he might wear that just for the first few weeks of the season, but he'll be fine, man. I just don't see them trying to rush him back this season, given the whole situation with the team and the injuries and just the luck that we've had this year. So I just don't see him coming back. But it won't affect him going forward, to be honest with you. And I don't think it'll stop him from running or being Jalen or being a dual threat guy he is, you know. You know, I've been listening to you guys' theories on injuries and AI and all that. It's just mind-boggling to me. Some of the stuff people say about injuries.
Well, can I ask you something? We're talking with our friend Leslie Shepard. Played for the Skins for a number of years. Played throughout the NFL. In 1998, had 712 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. 8 touchdowns on 43 catches.
Touchdown maker, baby.
That's pretty crazy. 8 touchdowns on 43 catches is... What is that percentage? Like 22% of your catches went for scores? That's pretty damn good.
Hey, man, you said it. I didn't write a book. I didn't write a book to say throw me the damn ball, but I sure felt that way.
So, dude, you know, I know you and B talk all the time, and
right.
One thing I wanted to ask you about when I knew we were going to get you on was obviously you went through an elbow dislocation, and I feel like you gave us really good insight just to how painful the injury is. But with Terry McLaurin missing the holdout, now subsequently being injured, a lot of people want to draw a line from the holdout to the injury.
Okay.
What have you seen when Terry was on the field and it didn't look good early, then he kind of got going, got hurt, comes back, it looks really good against Kansas City, hurts it again.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, injuries are crazy. What do you equate Terry's really bad, I don't know, 6-8 month stretch right here to?
Well, honestly, I blame the personnel, the organization, the GMs, honestly. That's where it started. First and foremost, Terry is the nicest superstar in the league. He's the most transparent guy. He didn't play for 55 different quarterbacks. This guy is always available. He's a durable receiver. and he had to wait to the two, three days before the season started to get his contract. I thought that was BS, first of all. So him not being around the team, him not having that camaraderie with Jaylen, I think it's a combination of things. But I don't want to equate him not being there to injuries. What people have to realize is that the NFL football is a physical sport, right? It's basically luck. It ain't no, it's not no rocket science to injuries. Either you one of those guys that never get injured, like a Darryl Green that's 185 pounds and never got an injury, or that superhuman person that you're sitting beside, B. Mitch, who never got injured, right, and played like a maniac on the field. So it's really about luck, to be honest with you. I don't buy into people of injury prone or things of that nature. It's the nature of the game. You know, they just never really had any camaraderie with Terry and Jaylen. You know, even the first couple of games, it was, you know, all about Debo. They didn't work him in. They didn't get him going early. But Terry not going to go to the media. He's not going to have nothing ill will to say towards the team or the organization. But I just thought the way they handled that completely just got him, you know, he just couldn't get off to a good start because of that. You know what I mean? Obviously, he signed the contract. But I think that kind of dampened the relationship with him and the ownership, honestly. I mean, obviously, he's a team guy now, but his pride was hurt. You know what I mean? I still think if he had the ability to play, he would play through this year just because that's the guy he is. He's team first, and there's no superstar in the league built like that. So that's one of the reasons why I thought they should have gave him the money initially. He deserved it. He earned it. But I don't think it has anything to do with him not being here. Maybe, you know, when you're a pro and you're not in training camp and you don't get signed, you're going to obviously be a professional and go out and work and do the necessary things you need to do to prepare yourself for the season. But being around your guys, understanding, you know, how are we going to work with Debo? How, you know, what is my transition going to be? What is his transition going to be? How can we complement each other? All that stuff they missed, right? You can't accomplish that in a OTA or a mini camp, right? And again, I think people take it for granted that we lost a lot last year. We lost B-Rob, the physical component. We lost Eckler. You know what I mean? So the team is completely different. You know what I mean, man? It's just, you know, things just didn't go our way this year. But I don't think everybody should just clean the ship. And, you know, I don't think Terry did anything wrong. I think he prepared just like he normally prepared. But, again, you know, it's just, you know, it's just nature of the beast when it comes to being a professional athlete. You know what I mean? It's just it's a physical sport, man, and people get hurt. That's just the bottom line. You know what I mean?
I mentioned earlier, Shep, I said, hell, I was hurt. I just played. Because I didn't want to get my job today.
Being hurt and being injured. So, you know what I mean? I truly believe that.
Like today, as soon as you sign a contract, you good. So exactly. You might not push yourself as much. And the coaches, the front offices, they hold guys back these days because they paid them.
No, you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and let me just say this too. I think last year, with us being four quarters from the Super Bowl, right, I think it was like addict taking a hit of dope for the first time. They just don't be chasing that high. You know, they chasing that high every time they go back and they never catch it again. You know, we haven't won like that in this area, and some people have never seen us win like that. So the expectations for this team was through the roof this offseason, and rightfully so. But I just think people just were so overwhelmed by the fact that if we play well, and we was in a game that was very winnable for us. But again, this is a different team, and we was, you know, we'd have hunted this year. You know what I mean? The expectations were so low, and I think it affected how we went about the offseason, the people that we picked up, the trades we made, the thing. I think all that kind of had a lot to do with that four quarters from the Super Bowl thing. And I think the expectations just was through the roof, and we just couldn't meet them. You know what I mean? And that's just the reality of the beast. But I don't think we're not a good team, and we can't win going forward. You know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, Shep, I tend to agree with that. I got another stat, just because your touchdown to catch ratio is insane. In 97 and 98,
you got to hire him, Shep. He got to be your promo guy.
In 97 and 98, you had 72 combined catches and 13 touchdowns. That's a touchdown on almost 20% of your receptions. That's freaking nuts.
Hey, you should have wrote the book, Shep.
Hey, I know. I know. But it's funny. Back then, fantasy football guys used to love me, and I didn't even know what fantasy was. They used to be hell, man. You're on my team, dude. Man. You helped me win a championship. I'm like, really?
I missed the score too. I didn't realize you ran for one in 98.
Yeah, yeah. I should have told him to. Yeah, I should have told him to a little bit.
I mean, that's 14 touchdowns over two seasons with less than 100 touches.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I only played one full season those 5 years that I was here. So think about that.
Yeah, dude. That was 98 when you had eight scores.
Yeah.
So I tend to agree with you that a lot of fans put the cart before the horse after last year's success. But I kind of think we're 10 games in. It's mid-November now, or it's early November. Like, I think we can safely say organizationally they did too. Because
absolutely.
Like, trading for veterans, giving up draft picks, altered the course of what they said they were building.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're now at a place where we can properly kind of identify that and question it. You know what I mean?
But
no, absolutely.
I'll say this, though. What else were they supposed to do?
That's human instinct.
I think if they wouldn't have done it, like Neil Greenberg said it earlier, if they hadn't tried to go for it, fans would have been pissed at that, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the fan perspective. I think it was like to the great analogy you made, Shep, of like getting that first hit of dope and wanting another one. Like it seems like AP and DQ did too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody kind of got caught up in it. But that's
normal. I mean, they felt like if we just do this and do that. But again, you got to look at it like the players that we had weren't great. They were good players, but they was playing way above the expectation of the team and organization. The line, the defensive line, the secondary. Everything was going in our favor last year in order, because you can't just make it to the NFC championship game and you're a bad team. So a lot of things was just, ahead of schedule. And it's human instinct for them to come in the offseason and say, listen, we was four quarters away from the Super Bowl. If we do X, Y, and Z, that could get us over the hump. But again, you got to get rid of B-Rob so you can sign Terry and then Eckler get hurt. And it's a lot of things that we didn't have last year happened this year, and you had to adjust. And Jalen getting hurt again and things of that nature you just can't account for. So I still think we are ahead of the curve because we got a hell of a coach in DQ. That's a great leader. And we got a franchise quarterback. And I don't know how many teams in the league can say that. So, I think we can build around that. We got our missing piece in Terry back on the offense. I just think that we're fine. We just got to make some adjustments. You know what I mean? And this year was just a mulligan. We got to take a mulligan this year, man. Just, it happens to the best of teams.
Yeah, Jeff knows what a mulligan is.
Yeah, B doesn't believe in mulligans, though.
Jeff takes him every damn other shot.
Hey, Shep, thank you for making time for us, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Always a pleasure.
All right,
man. Take a light,
take
brother.
Care of that elbow, dude. All right, that's our friend Leslie Shepard.
That's been knowledge, bro.
I can only imagine B and Shep in the club in like 1997.
Man, we didn't go to the club. We went to restaurants.
I bet you went to lots of places.
All right, let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show, Jordan Reed, who we haven't talked to in a long time on Grant and Danny. Jordan, it's great to catch up, man. How you been?
I've been well, man. How are you?
Good,
buddy.
Doing very well. We're just talking about how awesome you were for a few minutes. So just know you're coming into a very friendly.
It's a nice little nest
room here. we miss tight ends who just take people off the dribble and use footwork to get open on third down and then make plays after they catch. You know any of those guys that you could send our way?
I miss being that guy for sure. I miss being that guy.
Do you have any like cousins that are on the way to the NFL, or like teenagers in your neighborhood, somebody that you've been coaching up? Because this offense right now here in Washington needs what you provided in a major way.
Man, I wish I could say yes. I'm always looking to help out the next generation. So if somebody's hungry as I was, come across my path, man, I'll train them up.
Hey, we're gonna get back to Jordan Reed and kind of the tight end position in the NFL as it's constructed now in a moment. But I got to ask you about this TV series called The Offseason that you are an executive producer on, because Danny and I saw the trailer and it looks incredible.
It's awesome.
It's going to tell the story of players and their lives off the field, really raw, like character-led storytelling. It's the kind of thing, honestly, me and Danny crave as sports fans. What can you tell us about this project?
Man, it's a passion project. Being a former athlete, understanding how important the offseason is I felt like, you know, there was major stories out there that weren't being told. And now we're giving the athletes a chance to show, you know, what it takes to become the best in the world at a sport and, you know, be able to explain their ups and downs and how they navigate, you know, the world during the off season, because there's so many different things that go on during that time of year that no one gets a chance to see. And now we're giving the fans the opportunity to do that.
How did this come about, the idea to kind of document this, right? I mean, we've seen Hard Knocks. We've seen stuff that's kind of in season. You know, we've seen those sorts of things. But this kind of hasn't been done to this point, really, like figuring out what goes into it. There'll be montages here or there for some of these documentaries, but not to this degree. How did this project come about for you?
And it came about just, you know, through talking to the team. We started a production company, and like you said, you got your Hard Knocks, you got your quarterback and receiver, but this is very similar to Hard Knocks, but it's on the individual level. Now we're going directly to the players and, you know, showing their lifestyles, showing their work ethic. And like you said, it hasn't been done before. So, you know, we want to be the first to bring it out there and give the athletes the platform to really open up and be themselves, tell their story from their standpoint, where they'll also be a producer and have an executive producer credit on the episodes for being a part of telling their stories and how they want it told.
Jordan Reed, former Redskins tight end, with us on Grant and Danny. I know George Kittle, David Njoku, Trent Williams are among some of the players that will be chronicled and featured. So is this a one-off season series, or is this something you guys hope to do with different people, like routinely, and have more seasons of this?
Yeah, and that's part of the original idea and the concept of this. We believe that this will be a franchise, and that every sport has an off season. You know, every single sport has an off season. Every sport has superstar athletes with unique and special stories to tell. So we plan on doing this, you know, for many seasons to come. And not just in football, we plan to expand to different sports and even different, you know, international sports, soccer, cricket, and really expand sports and expand the opportunity for viewers to watch all kind of different sports and bridge the gap between, you know, sports overseas and sports in the States, and just give fans, you know, access to athletes in all arenas, man.
Jordan Reed's about to executive produce a series on cricket. I would not have thought that was coming. But, hey, I get
so
it.
Cool,
it's a
dude.
Lane that people are interested in. And from a first-person experience, it's the kind of content as sports fans that we're all desperate for. I mentioned a few names. Can you give us some of the players that are involved in this first season that's dropping?
Yes, sir. The first season will feature Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, David Njoku, Penei Sewell, and Trey Hendrickson. Those would be the first five guys this year, and then you know, we look to expand on that list for off season NFL season two, and then, you know, get into the other sports as I mentioned before.
Was it tough to convince guys to kind of open up to you know, have the filming and stuff done? I know sometimes in pro football, like, you know, coaches or executives have sort of grumbled about the Hard Knocks cameras, and they try to be as unobtrusive as possible. This is sort of, I don't know, it's kind of like your time away. For some guys, I think it's probably pretty sacred, right? Was it tough to get guys to say yes initially, maybe to document this sort of thing?
No, man, it was actually pretty easy. I feel like the guys we approached had very unique stories to tell, and they wanted to tell them. They wanted to tell them, and you know, I credit our production team and the directors that we sent out to deal with these athletes directly. They were all very professional, and you know, made the athletes feel comfortable being themselves and telling their stories. But we, you know, all the athletes involved in this, the majority of them have equity in this as well. So we're building this together. All of us see the opportunity here and the untapped space of the off season, and we're bringing all the athletes together to tell these stories and get it done.
Jordan Reed on Grant and Danny, Offseason OFC on Instagram and X to follow the project. On TikTok, it's Offseason Live. So lastly, where is it going to air? How do we watch it and when?
Yeah, man. So we're looking at a launch date during the holidays this year. You know, a platform, you know, you guys stay tuned for that. We'll have a announcement coming out here soon, and all the guys in the episodes, they'll post about it on their Instagrams where you can catch it. And yeah, it's going to be really exciting, man. We're super excited about it.
That is super cool, dude. Is that, by the way, I can't imagine, like, I couldn't do what any of the things that you're talking about right now. I also couldn't play in the NFL, as you did in your previous career. But this is a totally new direction, vocation, et cetera. Like, are you in pitch meetings? Are you talking to network executives, that sort of stuff? I imagine that's got to be both pretty cool, but also a little bit scary.
Hey, man, just like a football team, everybody has their position, and everybody has their role on the team. We have people that are dealing with streaming platforms and pitching the show. So everybody's playing their part. We got some really good guys on this team. And, you know, just like any sports team, everybody has to play a role in order to win. So, you know, everybody's playing their role to, you know, at a great level. And, you know, everybody's excited about it.
Jordan Reed on G&D. The documentary is going to follow the lives and some of the battles that so many of these players had. If you're willing to discuss this, I am curious, first of all, how you're feeling, how you're doing. I don't remember the number of concussions you dealt with here, Jordan, but it was scary, and it was, you know, bountiful, and it ended up leading to your career ending way before it would have. I mean, you were tearing it up kind of at the top of your game. What was what you went through like, and how are things going now?
Man, it's you know, my time in the league, you know, it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs, as you mentioned, a ton of concussions, a ton of injuries. But, you know, dealing with all that made me a stronger individual, and showed me that I can get through anything, you know, if I just keep on getting up and keep dusting myself off, which you know, I've had to do, you know, now even as an entrepreneur. I'm working on some of these projects. You know, I lean on my experience from the NFL and that mental strength that it gave me. But it's been challenging since retiring, recovering from my injuries, and then also, you know, just figuring out what's next in life. And you know, that's been a journey. And I'm sure, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, I'm on the right path now. And you know, this is going to lead to, you know, some great things for myself and for my family.
Put you on the spot here for a second, Jordan. If you can go back to your playing career, give me a great memory. Give me kind of a personal highlight for you, a moment where you went, you know, this is actually pretty cool, where you kind of allowed yourself to take it in a little bit.
And one of my greatest memories, it's tough. I got so many great memories from those days, but One of my most cherished memories is when I scored versus Green Bay in the playoffs. That was one of the games my dad got to see me play in person, and you know, I was able to have a pretty good game. We lost the game, but you know, I was able to show. I always wanted to show him how good of a player I was, and you know, I got to do that game. So that was one that really stuck with me.
Jordan Reed's 2015 season. The best ever turned in by a tight end in D.C., 87 catches, just shy of 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. And his heater at the end of that year helped carry Washington to the playoffs.
By the way, Jordan, incredibly modest. I believe that was 9-for-120 and a touchdown in that playoff game against Green Bay. I like that you said it was pretty good.
Yeah, he had a day against Green Bay. But, Jordan, I'm wondering then, you know, so you watch the game now, right? I'm sure you study the game now at the tight end position. It's almost evolved even more so 10 years later to exactly what you were. Like, you would have been the perfect player in the league right now. Who are the tight ends that you enjoy watching the most at this moment?
Right now, man, there's a ton of, like you said, a ton of talented receiving tight ends right now around the league. Some of my favorite guys, George Kittle, you know, still Travis Kelce, still Zach Ertz, and then the new class, like Sam Laporta, he's a freak of nature and a playmaker out there. So yeah, it's a ton of them, man, and they're all kind of, like you said, molded in the receiver kind of way. And you know, it's tight end is a hard position to stop, man. Once you got a guy that can move you know, has great hand-eye coordination. It's a big matchup nightmare for the defense.
And just thinking of that now, it feels like it's almost like you got to, like, there are so many guys that I think of in your era that cut across, like the Rob Gronkowskis of the world, just big and brutalizing people going straight ahead. And your game, not that you didn't have power, but you were so quick and so lateral with such unbelievable hands. I feel like we're almost getting away from that a little bit, though. It's like guys are a little bit more in line, have more blocking responsibilities. Is that something you've seen kind of trend-wise in the league, or am I off base there?
So you're saying that they're going back towards
almost guys that can run. Yeah, almost okay. More in line. I mean, even the guys that are great receivers. I like Brock Bowers, I think, is awesome. He didn't have your wiggle. You know what I mean? Like, he's not shaking guys down. He's big and strong and fast, but I would take you and make people miss contests. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Honestly, man, I had a very unique skill set that, you know, came from playing street ball growing up. And, you know, being able to use those same movements on the football field. So there's one guy coming up that I've seen in college. He went to USC, and I think he's now – I forgot what team he's on, but he reminds me a lot of myself. But I think it's, you know, it's a unique skill set. Often you see guys who are big, strong, and fast, but, you know, they lack the lateral mobility, the hip mobility – and just the skill set that I developed, because for me, man, I'm 6'3". I was 6'3", 240, 245 when I was playing. That's big, but most of these guys are 6'5", you know, 250 and upwards. So they didn't have to really have all the skills, you know, the skill set that I had to get open. They didn't have to develop that and work at it like I did. For me, I had to do it. That was my edge. I wasn't the fastest guy. I ran like a 4.65, low 4.7 at the combine. So, you know, I really had, the only way I could create separation is by using my athleticism and that skill set that I developed when I changed my position at Florida, to tight end. So I really grinded on that when I first started working on receiver. I really grinded on the skill set of it and working on my footwork, understanding how to create separation to gain leverage on a defender. I had to learn all that because, like I said, I wasn't the big guy running a 4.5, 4.4 like some of these guys are now. So, you know, I think it was, you know, it was a disadvantage for me being a smaller guy, but it was to my advantage that I had to learn the skill set to be effective. And I was ultra competitive. And so when it came to one-on-one battles, I never wanted to lose those. So I stayed after practice every single day, got there early every single day to work on creating separation and just being a separation master. And that's what I became. So it's just going to come down to work ethic, man. You know, these guys are super talented, big, fast, and strong. They can, you know, if they wanted to, they could develop into a great route runner. It takes a lot of work.
And there's a couple of years where Jordan Reed could do something nobody else in the league could. And now he's the executive producer of Offseason, telling the story of the players and the lives that they lead off the field. Offseason delivers raw, character-led storytelling beyond the boundaries of sport. Jordan, we appreciate you letting us know about the project. Thanks for hopping on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you allowing me to tell it, man. And to all the fans out there, can't wait to get your eyes on it and, you know, get your feedback. So I appreciate you guys.
Jordan, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. There's Jordan Reed on Grant and Danny on the Rude guest hotline.
Hey, right now I'm going to hook up caller number 10 at 1-800-636-1067 with a pair of tickets to go see the Washington Capitals Saturday, November 15th versus the New Jersey Devils. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. That's how you get your tickets. 1-800-636-1067. All right, let's head out to the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and check in with Mike Loxley, Terps head football coach. He's presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders. IT Cadre. What's up, Coach?
Coach, are you there?
Fellas, what's up, man? Y'all thought I ducked y'all out today, huh?
No chance.
No.
All right.
Tough. We just had to talk about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, we had a lot of Jaden talk. What are you watching any of the games? Are you watching any Skins games?
I can't tell you that I've seen a Skins game, or no, I have
too,
not.
Too busy.
You're too locked in.
Hey, right, let me ask you this just from a coaching perspective, because Dan Quinn was criticized heavily for leaving Jaden in when they were down 38-7. Now, they started the drive with 12 and a half minutes left in the game. They're down, they're down 38-7. He said after the game that was going to be the final drive. Now, he ended up getting hurt with 7.5 minutes left, and the fans go crazy. Sports radio guys are going crazy. What's your philosophy on, you know, he's a young quarterback. So what's your philosophy on leaving a younger quarterback in just to kind of get into a positive mental state, maybe score a touchdown, and then
put
take
something
him out.
Good on film before you pull him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, obviously, you got to have a feel for where you are in the game. Like, is it, if he hadn't played well, and again, I haven't watched to say, but for me to leave a veteran guy in late, it's either usually he's missed a lot of work, and so you're trying to get him some work, and get him some extra reps because he's missed games or missed opportunities in time, and with the young quarterback, those reps are really, really valuable. But then you also have to look and say, hey, why did he miss time? Was it, if it's due to injuries and he's your guy? I mean, it can go either way, and obviously, you know, the decision was made, I guess, to leave him in, and I'm not familiar with what's going on because I've got my own issues. I got Rutgers up coming up, but I would say playing a young quarterback for me late in the game, the only reason you're doing it is to try to get him some extra work and try to get some experience and some tool, get his toolbox of, you know, facing some of the defenses and things that are going on.
So let's talk about your young quarterback, because I think during your sideline interview you said – that he was out of sorts. It was the first time you'd seen him kind of out of sorts. Mm-hmm. What were you seeing? And then, you know, what did you see in the second half, the rest of the game from him?
Yeah, I think what happens sometimes with a young quarterback, and for the last three or four games for him, most of the things that he saw weren't things that people put on tape, and that's what defenses tend to do to young quarterbacks. They want to kind of make them uncomfortable, and so you practice against cover two all week, and then they come in and they play cover three. And so a veteran guy can flip the switch from two to three because he has game experience. He's used to being able to go in and out of the coverages. And so what happened with him is for the first time, he saw exactly what we thought we would see, and he's predetermined some things, and they changed the picture up. And so, you know, when that happens with a young quarterback, you want to say, how do I take the pressure off of him having to make decisions based on what they do? And you usually try to rely on the friendly run game, which, I mean, we rushed for 25 yards, so we did nothing to help him. And, you know, what we needed to do was figure out how we could take some of the pressure off of him, because we do put quite a bit on this young guy in terms of protections and getting things picked up and getting us checked into the right plays. And with the picture changing post-snap, some predetermined decisions came back to maybe haunt us.
Mm-hmm. Coach, how disappointing was it not to score a pick six when Mendoza throws the early pick there?
Those are the plays that we have to have. I mean, you know, we have that play, and then we still don't come away with a touchdown. We kick a field goal there. And when you're playing the number two team in the country and you have opportunities of momentum, which, you know, our defense was able to give us momentum early in the game, and we didn't capitalize on offense. And then we come out the second half and we take the first drive of the second half down and score, and then our defense doesn't – they don't capitalize the momentum. We, you know, we had a terrible kickoff that gave them a drive, started 38, and they went down and matched our score post halftime. And, you know, those are the types of those series and those drives when you're playing a top two team like that. Those are the ones that we got to figure out how to make those take advantage of those opportunities.
There's no way you thought you would lose by 45.
Not at all.
You didn't think
there's no way.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Indiana's legit. What did they show you that you maybe didn't even expect?
You know what? They were who we thought they were. And in a way that, you know, they're a veteran group. If you look at their roster, I think they had 18 redshirt seniors and true seniors
spattered across their two deep on offense and defense. And when you have a veteran team like that, they've got a lot of what I call tools in their toolbox because they played a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Most of those guys came over with him from JMU.
Right.
Then he had the group that Tom Allen left that had a pretty good year with Penix as the quarterback the 1 year. And so they were maybe a couple of years ahead in terms of, you know, the NIL and how he was able to bring most of his JMU guys, but they're veteran guys that have been battle tested and through a lot of games. When you're a redshirt senior, like, you know, Roman Hemby, who came back to haunt us rushing for over 100 yards, and he was a redshirt senior that graduated out of our program. Those veteran players are hard to, you know, it's hard to replace the experience. And that's what we're finding ourselves with. We're not young anymore because we're in game eight. We're more inexperienced, or game nine. We're inexperienced than we are young.
Yeah. I mean, the Kalon Black kid who was, he ran for 110 against you. That kid was at JMU for 4 years. With Cignetti.
I mean, it's a veteran group. And I mean, credit to Kurt and his staff, and they've got a good team and built the right way, and it's kind of what we're working toward, because we've got a talented foundation. We just need some of that experience.
We've talked about this before, Coach, and talked about other coaches who are let go. And the one thing I like about you, man, is you're honest, and you're honest with the media. And then you were asked about that. I don't know what media member it was that asked you, hey, did you hear the Fire Locks chants from the crowd? And you said, of course I did. I mean, you're not stupid. I mean, you hear stuff like that. You know, what's your reaction to when the media does ask you that and how you have to answer it?
Or there was even a false report on social media that I'm sure you heard about.
Yeah.
That kind of picked up some steam.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is as I tell our team, the only voices that matter are the ones in the building, because the things you can't control, why worry about them? And as I've said, man, I've been through harder, and I've faced a lot of things in my life that worrying about somebody chanting Fire Locksley is
right.
not going to affect me one iota, because I got a job to do. I know what I signed up for. We are in the entertainment business, and obviously we weren't very entertaining last Saturday. As I said, I didn't coach very well. We didn't play very well. We had a great opportunity, but as I've said to the media also, and, you know, sometimes they misconstrue, you know, we still have the ability to have elevation in our program. And no, my bar isn't set for winning two conference games, because we got a few more conference games than the next one. But the goal is to show this young team the slow progress that has been made, because I'm not going to stand up there and cash it in. No, I don't know any coach that's going to cash it in, because it's not going your way. We fight, we work, we try to make the necessary adjustments. And this week we hope we can get it right against Rutgers up the road.
How was practice so far this week?
You know what? That's the part for me that's been the most encouraging, because if you anybody that spends time around this team, and that's where, you know, it's easy for the pundits to say, he keeps saying it's not the same old Maryland, but I'm in that locker room every day. And a year ago, it was a tough sale to go out and practice, to go out and develop, as we built the losing streak last year. Well, this year is the exact opposite, because I got a lot of youthful, relentless faith guys in that locker room, man, and they really have a high care factor for each other, and they want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Rutgers and challenge you face. They're kind of in a similar position to you, 1-5 in the Big Ten, 4-5 overall.
Yeah, very similar. A program we know very well. Our 12th straight year playing these guys, got a lot of respect for Coach Ciano, and you know, he's a guy that has taken tough jobs and really over the years has shown he has the ability to build teams. And you know, they're coming off a bowl game year last season. You know, it's always tough to win on the road. They've got a veteran quarterback transferred in from Minnesota who we faced, and he had success against us up at Minnesota. So a redshirt senior, they operate with their spread zone system, the RPOs, which similar to us. And so this is a game that evenly matched. We both are in the same space. It's important for both of us. So I expect it to be a hard-fought battle, and you know, we got to do what we need to do to find a way to get back on a winning track.
What did you say to Malik after the game?
You know what? We actually had recruits in on campus, official visits. So, you know, I mean, imagine you got one of your top prospects on campus. You get the brakes beat off you. You got to go to dinner and hang out and put your good face on. And neither one of us were in that mood. But for the young quarterback, it's a matter of just watching the film. You know, what I know about this kid and what I've learned over the years of recruiting him is that once you show him something on tape or once you make a correction, he picks it up pretty quickly. And so that's what's been encouraging for him, or for me, that this kid has the right makeup. You know, he comes back on Sunday, gets on the film, and we get it corrected.
Coach, appreciate you being flexible and joining us a little bit later in the program.
Stop the bleeding this week.
Stop the bleeding.
Yep.
Right. You got it.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Talk to y'all next week.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
It's Coach Mike Locksley.
You know what? He's a good dude.
He's presented by IT Cadre. Yeah. Trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. Hey, we're going to hook up the listeners again. Caller number 10 at 1-800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets to go see Iron Maiden with special guest Megadeth. That's Friday, September 11th at Jiffy Lube Live. For tickets and more event info, you can visit thefandc.com/events. We'll come back, a little entertainment page here on the Junkies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.